to episode 172 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love absolutely the most, travel. We're glad you're joining us this week. Our goal is to inform, educate, and inspire. And we hope that tuning in for our weekly chats will help you push you outside of your comfort zone and add some new experiences to your bucket list. We also welcome ideas for topics, so if there's something you'd really like to hear more about, please let us know. My name is Donna, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Lindsay, Laura, Sandy, and Elizabeth. See, we're making mistakes already. Here at Outlander Travel, we like to pride ourselves on being experts in all things travel-related, but even the experts had to start learning somewhere. So today, we're going to share with you some of our own mistakes, as well as those made by others, who shall, of course, remain nameless.
But they're mostly
so. Let's get it started. I'm already making mistakes tonight, so we're all set.
Yeah, I think it's actually really funny that we call ourselves experts, but and we also talk about how we have to start learning somewhere. But I'm pretty sure I made some of these mistakes, like on the last trip that I took
again.
Yeah.
But, like, Elizabeth, Oscar Wilde said that isn't experience the name that men give their mistakes, or that's what that is.
Yes. Well, and how many times have we given advice to a client and been like, trust me, I know this from personal experience.
You want to do this. Yeah.
Like, there's a reason why I'm telling you this.
Yes.
So what's one of your biggest ones? What's one of your biggest?
Lindsay, do you have one just off the top of your head? Oh. Yeah.
Plane?
Yeah.
Oh, I have the funniest one. I decided to surprise my husband on a drive back from down south up to when we lived in Wisconsin. And he loves Jack Daniels. He loves Gentleman Jack. It's like his favorite thing. And so I was like, oh, he's always wanted to go to the Jack Daniels distillery. We'll just pop in and do a tour. And I didn't bother to look up the fact that Lynchburg, Tennessee was a dry county and that the exemption that Jack Daniels has only works from Monday through Saturday. And on Sundays, it's a dry county again. So we did the tour and you end up, you're smelling these barrels, like the smell of the whiskey in the barrels, and you're going through the fumes and everything. There's turkeys like the size of cars. It's amazing. And then we get to the White Rabbit Saloon at the end of the tour. And there's, of course, the liquor store that's dark and closed with the door locked. And they have lemonade all laid up on the counter for us. It's supposed to be filled with Jack Daniels. And no, it's just lemonade. My husband to this day has never, like, we've been together for I don't even know how long now. He's never going to forgive me.
I got to say, Lindsay, I don't think I would forgive you for that.
That'd be like me taking Chris to a beer tour where he couldn't drink
beer.
Yes,
exactly. I mean,
yeah.
Did you buy him a t-shirt or something?
I did. I bought him a t-shirt. We got a t-shirt. We got like a cribbage board made out of a barrel. And he just, like, some wood chips. And just the look on my husband's face that entire day. And then just driving home, even, he just glanced over at me.
You got feeling this cold.
One of those t-shirts that you buy on vacation, you know, for souvenirs, as you know. My mom went to Disney World and all she bought was this lousy t-shirt. Yeah. My wife took me to Jack Daniels. Like, oh, that was this lousy t-shirt.
I didn't even get any booze.
And you can get t-shirts in town. You can't buy any liquor in town. And they never have liquor in town because it's a dry county.
That's just crazy, man. They're still dry counties.
The distillery.
Wow. There's still dry counties in North Carolina, too, which I think is bizarre.
I think that does tie into a really good one that actually Heidi wanted us to share because she saw the show notes. And she was like, oh, I have one. Make sure you check the times for transportation, because in a lot of cities, transportation schedules change on the weekends, especially on Sundays. And I think that goes, like, that happened to us in New York City. We were trying to get to a Statue of Liberty tour on a Sunday, and we had to get all the way out to Battery Park. So the fastest way was the subway, should have been. And after 20 minutes of waiting for the subway, we had to come back up, take a taxi, and we were like 5 minutes late to the meeting point by then. So, you know, you can't count on public transportation to always
be. I would think in New York it would be
Like, oh no, notoriously.
The city never sleeps. What the heck?
In theory, but I have stories about that too. I've walked down New York City streets at like 10 o'clock and I'm like, there's not a single bar open. What is going on here? Maybe I'm not waiting long enough.
Financial district?
So, yeah. But that also ties into things like don't plan your Vatican visit on a Wednesday because there's things going on that the Pope needs the space for, and you won't, you know.
Is it like Mass?
I don't know.
Wednesdays.
Okay, then maybe. Yeah, I'm not Catholic. I don't know. Things happen, and you can't go in and see certain things. Just like Sundays, you know, you don't want to go then. So you have to think about what is happening there. Don't assume that just because it's a tourist attraction, it's going to be open 24/7. You know, they do
have. And then you also have. If you're in a Catholic country, if it's a holy day, everything's closed anyway.
Yep. Or if it's a bank holiday, say in Ireland, don't plan that to be your shopping day because the stores won't open until at least 12:30 or 1. Not that that just recently happened on a trip I put together in Ireland.
That sounds really familiar. When in my life did always.
Oh yeah, I remember. That was Elizabeth's fault. Yep.
Now. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Fortunately,
So I went on a cruise one time, and I forgot to tell the visa that we were leaving the country, and it was a cruise, so we were going from different. We were going country hopping. So everything was great while we were in Barcelona, but as soon as we got to Cannes, they're like, oh, no, that's fraud.
This country will not work now.
So they called my mother at my house, and of course she's not an authorized user, so she couldn't get them to turn it back on. So I had to get back on the ship, make a ship-to-shore phone call to the credit card company to tell them, no, it's really me, and that 3-minute call cost me $50.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I wish that I could say that I've been there and done that only once, but that's I'm a repeat offender. Yeah. I'm forgetting to call my credit card company.
Me too. Well, you know, I have one card from Chase that I've had pretty much my entire adult life, and I stretch adult since I was 16, because it used to be an Amoco gas card, and then I transferred over to an Amoco Visa card, and then I changed that to a Disney Visa card on day one, and that credit card knows me. It's eerie how well it knows me, and yet I insist on doing stupid things, like, so I never have to call them to tell them that I'm traveling, so now everybody knows my Disney card, but anyway, I never have to call them when I'm traveling, they tend to trust, but I have other credit cards that don't tend to trust, and unfortunately, I tend to use those at the wrong moment, and Sandy actually, like, so I was in Amsterdam, and we went to this wonderful Italian restaurant that I would recommend to anyone that is in the red light district, just inside the red light district, and it was only around the block from our hotel. We were very central, so we're sitting there. We had this wonderful dinner. It's the kind of dinner with like three courses and foam on your meal and everything. And we had dessert and we're having coffee, and they present the check. And in Europe, they actually come to the table so that they don't walk off with your credit card, and they do your credit card right at the table. So he runs it, and he's like, "It's declining." I looked at my husband and I said, well, just give him another card. He's like, I don't have any other cards. I left them all in the safe. And I just brought the one because we were just going out to dinner and then coming back. I didn't want to carry a lot of cash or money at all.
Yeah.
And I was like, really? So I had to sit there sipping my water, please. While he went back to the hotel and got the Chase card and brought it back, and we paid and everything was fine. Then I get back to the hotel room, and of course it's night there, so it's still before banking hours close back home, and I had no idea there was a collect call number on the back of my card. So I email Sandy and say, hey, I'm in Amsterdam and my card got rejected, can you call my bank, here's the number, and get them to turn it back on. And she's like, she emailed me back and she said,
no, I Facebook messaged you.
She Facebook messaged me. She said, Elizabeth, somebody's hacked into your account. I just got this message saying you're in Amsterdam and you don't have any money. And I'm like, Sandy, I'm in Amsterdam and I don't have any money.
But I had gotten like this weird email from a friend who was like, not someone I normally emailed. And it was like, I'm in England and I got hit in the head and all my money was stolen and can you help me? I thought it was one of those emails.
It's definitely a scam. And I did everything I could to make sure you knew it really was me. Like, I tried to put things in there that only I would know. But it didn't work. She was like, ah, you've been hacked. I'm like, just call my bank.
Thank goodness for Facebook. I get my card. That happens to me all the time in Florida. Mm-hmm. All the time. Mm-hmm. Now I do let my bank know. And I can do it online.
Yes.
But one thing my bank told me, and I travel with debit cards a lot. I don't use a lot of credit cards when I travel. But they told me for that, if you don't run it as credit, if you use your PIN, then it'll go through.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, with the chips, it happens less frequently too.
Yeah.
But I've discovered
and that's like, domestic too. So
if you purchase 3 Metro cards in a row in New York in the subway, then it'll block your card. Mm-hmm. Even if there's 4 of you and you need 4 Metro tickets, if you buy them all in a row on the same card.
So this is a good plug for like buying stuff like that ahead of time, like shore excursions on cruises or you can get Metro cards ahead of time and stuff. So.
Yeah, also you want to make sure that when you leave the restaurant you don't leave your credit card behind.
Oh, good point.
I did that
because we drove 3 hours and then I called the credit card company to have them send me a new one and they said, well, we can get it to you in a week.
Yeah.
So then I called the restaurant and had to drive 3 hours back and then 3 hours back to where I was. So I drove 6 hours to go pick up my credit cards.
Oh. It's your credit card. Yeah, because you can't live without it. I mean, I can go on a week vacation without my credit card is not an option. So that reminds me of one of the very most disruptive mistakes that we ever made. We didn't know that you really should pay for your shore excursions before you step foot on the ship. And we were going on our Mediterranean cruise and we had a bunch of shore excursions. It was like about $4,000 or $5,000, something like that, in shore excursions. And so we had the money in the bag. They're paying the bag. This is back when, before everything was instant. And so every time they pinged the bank, it registered as a brand new charge. So every port it pinged at. So we ended up with this massive, and I did that tearful phone call to the bank asking them to please run the charge.
Because it was holding up all your money?
Yeah. Uh-huh. To shore, yeah, because it was tying up all of our money 4 times over for the same charge. It was not a good experience. And that kind of leads into, I see people all the time standing in line for things in places that you don't need to be wasting your time standing in line if you had done it before you left. Getting money, whether it's getting currency, the local currency, or getting things like that, paying for things that you could have paid for before you left, those type of things. And it irritates me to no end every time I find myself, I'm in a line that if I just remembered to do this, I wouldn't be in this line right now.
Yeah. Not just remembering things, but if you know there's something you want to do that's a big tourist attraction, see if there's a skip the line pre-purchase. It might cost you a little bit more, but the time it will save you, you know, things like the Vatican.
Every penny.
Yeah. Things like the Tower of London, things like the London Eye, anything that has long lines like that. If there's a skip the line option that is affordable, I mean, there was like the Empire State Building has a VIP pass, but it's like crazy expensive if I remember correctly. So, you know, it's extravagant. Whereas, you know, usually the skip the lines for like the Tower of London or whatever might be, you know, $2-3 more or pounds to do ahead of time.
Why wouldn't everybody do that?
Yeah.
Then?
Yeah.
I know,
because they don't have travel agents like us.
Yeah. Yeah. And they are capacity controlled to a certain degree too. So if you already have one, then you can get on. Whereas if you wait till that day, you know, it's kind of like the Express Pass at Universal Studios. You could wait till that day, but you might not get one because they sell out. So you have to, you know, weigh your risks.
So what is the most important thing you've ever forgotten at home? What?
Underwear.
Yeah, I was going to say, Donna forgot her underwear when we took our cruise. And then she bought some and then she forgot it in the car.
Yep. So I ended up wearing my bathing suit bottoms.
I forgot our airline tickets the very last time that I ever traveled with paper tickets. And the really funny part about, well, I also forgot our Disney World tickets and I had to miss my flight and go later to go back home and get them. But before that, we were going to my sister's wedding, which was in San Francisco, and we were going to Austin first to drop off my daughter, who was then like 11 months old or something, or 13 months old, with my mother-in-law who's living in Austin, Texas. So we had paper tickets, and I forgot them at home, so we paid the $100 fee per person in order to be able to get onto that same flight. Or no, I think that one we actually got on a later flight because we decided to go home and get them. Then I put them in a bag, and I forgot which bag I put them in, and I couldn't find them when it was time to go home. So I had to pay the fee. So I paid the fee twice because I had to pay the fee. Even though I went back to get the tickets, I had to pay a fee for changing the flight. And then I had to pay a higher fee when I couldn't find my tickets and needed to just get new tickets. Same trip. I will never use paper tickets again. I didn't even know. Even the airline was like, why do you have paper tickets? I'm like, I don't know. It was before I was a travel agent. That's what Expedia sold me or whatever. You know, I was using some online travel agency, and that's the only kind of ticket I had the choice to get.
I'm trying to think. Because, I mean, now you can always reprint it, you know.
Now, you're thinking of a boarding pass. I'm talking about the actual ticket. This was ticket.
Years ago. That's you had to have a ticket.
Yeah.
This was like right at the sort of cusp of. So it was like 12 years ago. 13 years ago, probably. Mm-hmm. And so it was right. There were many times that I had flown before that. It was electronic, but they still issued paper tickets for some itineraries. And I don't know if it's because we had one of those itineraries where we had a child partway through it. So we had we flew to Austin with her. So she only had the round trip to Austin, whereas we then had a round trip from Austin to San Francisco and back. So I think it was the Austin to, I don't remember. And we had a baby. I don't know. It could have been anyone. I have no idea. Again, I wasn't a professional.
I know now. It's so funny because I'm so used to having a mobile boarding pass or it doesn't matter.
You know, the boarding pass.
Trying to wrap your mind around a paper ticket. Mm-hmm. Now you're like, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it was definitely by far the worst thing that I had ever forgotten. I mean, even the Disney tickets, I guess the Disney tickets would have been more expensive, but because Southwest is so flexible, I was able to, the rest of my family went on and I went back to the house and had to take the next flight out. So they were there 2.5 hours before me.
I have nightmares about forgetting stuff. So usually I'll remember on the way to the airport or something and have to turn around and go back. But usually it's
so worried about forgetting certain things that that's when I forget other things. Like I left my sunglasses at home.
I do that all the time.
But I'm a little I have a pair that I like and I'm not happy with any other pair on my face.
I have bought the same pair at Disney 3 times.
We actually used to joke that was the whole reason we went on vacation was to get Chris a new pair of sunglasses. Because that's every trip. He's like, we've got to stop somewhere so I get sunglasses.
Before I discovered that there was the Disney, DisneyGiftCard.com website, I think it might have been before they had that website where you could combine all the gift card totals. Mm-hmm. I left some Disney gift cards with budgeted balances on them at home. And so I'm on the phone in the parks trying to figure out how my husband can get the gift cards that he's holding in his hand.
Wow.
That was fun. I left medicine at home before too. I've left that had to be mailed.
My son is the king of losing stuff. He's lost cell phone chargers for him having the only cell phone that takes that kind of charger in the world.
I remember at the desk asking about his cell phone charger.
God. But I found cell phone chargers in hotel rooms. And that's a pretty common thing, But,
lose one, gain one. Lose one, gain one.
I know.
But mine's a weirdo phone charger. It's not your universal charger. So I've got to have my phone charger.
That's how his was, too. Yeah, it was exactly like that. So bad. So bad.
So it's never happened to me, but I've heard about people that forget to check their cell phone plans and then they come home to a huge.
Oh, yeah.
That's something I check in advance. Now, I have Verizon and I have a international plan that will kick in. If I'm in, say, the Bahamas, and I turn my phone on, it'll tell me travel pass $10 a day. It's for 24 hours. Okay. So anytime it pings like that, but if I'm in the Virgin Islands, it's fine. It works. It's not an extra charge. So it kind of, definitely check with your provider for that.
I have the $10 a day thing too. And that saved me so much money, but
yeah,
that's one of my biggest fears too, is that you're going to have an unexpected giant bill click it on. So another one, I know I'm guilty of overpacking. I don't do it anymore, but...
My last trip to Disney, when I did the races, I overpacked so freaking much because we were, we knew the corrals were going to be like 30 degrees, and at Disney races, you have to get up at like 3 a.m. and wait until like 6:30 for the race to start, and, you know, we needed all these layers. I brought... like throwaway clothes and oh my god!
But is that overpacking when you?
I brought a lot of stuff I didn't end up wearing because we were so cold we tended to not go to the parks, and we ended up having one day where we were just hanging out at the resort and we washed everything. You know, we did laundry, and so yeah, I had several things that I didn't wear at all, and I brought two. I checked two bags. I had a lot of crap with me. That was. So much crap.
Yeah.
So much crap. And it was cold for Florida, too. It was really cold.
That's always the worst. You know, you go anywhere else and you're like, well, I packed for that whole entire trip in a carry-on for 40 days, but then I go to Disney for 2 weeks and I need to take like 3 suitcases.
Work trips are hard, too, though.
I am the queen of lost luggage. And it still, it's still perfectly clean and perfectly packed when I get home.
So the only time you actually get your luggage is when you forget your underwear. Is like
yep, it shows up. Yep. Yeah.
So I've gotten lost before because I just blindly took directions from a local. And now I've gotten, you know, more skeptical when you ask someone for directions and they're, you know, if it doesn't sound right, they ask somebody else.
That's a tough one because I am very skeptical of GPS. Like, I feel like GPS is screwing you with you a lot. Like, I've had instances where, like, when I was in San Antonio, there's a frontage road that goes alongside the main interstate, and it had me drive on the frontage road for, like, 3 miles, and I passed, like, all these entrances to the interstate, and I'm like, I think I need to be on the interstate, you know, like, I think that's what I need to do. Yeah, I was so mad at that trip.
So,
yeah.
I was just gonna say, in Texas, the whole year we lived in Texas, I was always lost, because the Garmin's there, like, it doesn't work right in San Antonio.
Yeah, well, and then...
If you want to be on the access road, you want to be on the access road. There's a reason for it.
Yeah, it's traffic usually.
Well, I know when my husband goes to Cincinnati, he says it's like Pittsburgh where there's a lot of bridges. And you'll be, like the GPS can't always tell if you're on the top or the lower level of the road. So I really am one to kind of look at Google Maps before I go and try to get an idea of what the roads look like so I kind of have an idea of, you know, where I should be turning and stuff. It helps me a lot. I don't like being lost.
I check with locals now because I've learned that people know which one works best in their town. And when I say which one, I mean Apple Maps versus Google Maps because people joke about how bad Apple Maps is. And I really want to print a bumper sticker because that says Apple Maps got me lost in San Jose. Because there's absolutely no reason that anywhere near Cupertino like that Apple should get me lost.
Yeah,
but
really?
In San Jose, it seriously sent me a mile and a half the wrong direction to get me to this theater. And I was with my sister, we were walking, but in large cities like New York City, she's like, Apple Maps will get you there every single time. Google Maps is kind of wonky. So just little things like that, if you can check with a local and be like, okay, so which one do you use regularly here?
I don't think I've ever used Apple Maps.
Yeah, Apple Maps actually sometimes is worth something, but not in San Jose, just so you
which
know.
Which is so funny.
Yes.
There's something to be said about having good old paper maps and paper directions. And when I was in Cuba, I got myself lost. I mean, there was no my phone was a paperweight. I got lost in Havana, and I just started laughing because there's nothing else you can do at that point. Yeah. I don't speak Spanish. I don't know where I'm at. I can't see the ship. I eventually found my way back around, but I just thought it was hilarious that how did I leave without a map? This is something I put detailed directions and itineraries for other people, but when I travel myself, I'm like, I don't need to know anything.
You know, whenever you're doing driving trips, if you stop at the welcome center for a state, then there's free maps. You can always get a free map in that state. I do that all the time.
Well, consulting Google Maps, honestly, from your computer at home beforehand and orienting yourself to the city is not a bad idea either, because mm-hmm. even if you can't use your phone in the city, I don't actually know how they would do with Cuba. I actually don't know. They have satellite images, but
Cuba. Yeah, you need to have you need to have paper map.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, just as far as seeing it ahead of time, we actually, when we went to Hong Kong, my sister lent us an iPad that was Wi-Fi, it was wireless, that had cell service, and we took it on the hop on hop off bus with us and watched us go around the city, and we got a really good orientation that way because you're actually watching you move. Mm-hmm. And even if it's a little bit wrong every now and then, you get a general idea of where you're going.
That's cool.
And it was really helpful to sort of figure out where things were. And, you know, we just did the whole route before we started actually hopping on and hopping off. We had lots of time. And it was super helpful because in a city where everything's written in, well, not everything, there's a lot of English, but, you know, when you're getting mm-hmm. into a place that's all written in Chinese, you're like, I have no idea where I am.
Like, I can't even sound that out.
Yeah, I have no idea what that means. That could be a restaurant or a massage parlor. It really could go either way. I have no idea. So yeah, that was a really helpful thing to do. And I do that a lot now with my cell phone. I actually switched to T-Mobile. You were talking about your Verizon plans before. I switched to T-Mobile and it's international everywhere. And I did that because I forgot to check my plan before I left. And I forgot that I had upgraded my plan to a quote international plan with Verizon that actually covered Mexico and Canada. Mm-hmm. So I spent the first half of my trip in Mexico in airplane mode, thinking I couldn't use my phone. Yeah. And the whole time I could have. And so my phone actually updated overnight one night without me realizing it. And when it does that, it goes out of airplane mode. And I woke up the next morning and said, "Welcome to Mexico. Don't worry. Your plan is, your covers it." I was like, "Really? Dang it." all the time.
I will say though, even in the 5 years that I've been a travel agent, it's gotten a lot better with resorts having Wi-Fi and stuff mm-hmm. like that. That used to, back in the day, it was not always the case, or you'd have to go to like a common area for the Wi-Fi. It wasn't always in your room. So that's gotten a lot better than you can expect.
But if you're taking long trips, train trips or whatever, or like we do, like that particular trip was a familiarization trip. And so we're going all over the Yucatan Peninsula looking at resorts. Mm-hmm. So we would be in the bus for 30, 45 minutes to get to the next resort. Mm-hmm. And I could have been posting, I could have been working. There was like all sorts of ways I could have been using that time. And I had my phone in airplane mode. So I couldn't even play games. I mean, I couldn't play any internet ready games. I could have been doing that.
So Sandy hasn't, but who here of their own mistakes, not having to go back to get the ticket, but just being poorly managing your time, has missed a flight?
We showed up to the airport the day before our flight. And it was an hour drive. We were in Sarasota, and we had to drive to Tampa. And we went the day before. My father-in-law was really not happy with me.
That's awesome. We weren't late. I have not missed a flight, but I've missed a train before and had to spend an extra night in Chicago. And yeah. Well, actually, no, I did miss a flight that time. I've missed a train and a flight, so yeah.
I was going to say, you had to have missed one, because you would not be so, like, crazy about it if you didn't have, like, some sort of traumatic experience that you've obviously buried.
It wasn't that traumatic. I mean, I was on a school trip, and my friend Brandy was the editor of the yearbook, and we were there on a yearbook convention. And so it was all covered, I had friends with me. It wasn't like, we didn't go back to the city. We stayed near the airport that night, but it wasn't bad. The worst was the train. We were, like, banging on it while I was pulling out of the station. Like, no!
I think the most common mistake that I see is, it's not so much missing flights, although I do see that. Well, first of all, I see a lot of people getting to the airport at 5:30 for their 6 o'clock flight because they think that they're just going to breeze right through security because nobody will be there. That is a huge lie. And Sandy and I have watched people miss their flights because the security guards are not big on you fronting. And they're like, if you want to ask people, but we don't want you to do it. All these people are trying to get on the airplane. They all got here on time. It's your fault for, so there's no sympathy really at all. And, we've watched, I remember Sandy and I watched at least 10 people that one morning missing their flights because security was backed up, because there are like 4 flights that leave at 6 o'clock in the morning and there's only 2 security guards to let you through security because we're not in a huge airport or market. But the other thing is I watch people miss their connections because they're like, we only had an hour connection from from going to Turks and Caicos and then getting back to Pennsylvania. It's like, you do not only allow an hour to go through customs.
Just because you can buy that ticket doesn't mean
you're like, we don't didn't have our luggage yet. Yeah.
I think all those tickets should have a, you know, and that's another reason why you need to use a travel agent, because you're buying your ticket online. There's no big red warning that flashes on the screen and says, you only have 50 minutes for this connection. And when you fly in, you're going to be on the opposite end of the Chicago O'Hare Airport. And you're...
Remember in Miami, Lindsay, how we had to run?
Yeah, but Paris is worse than that. They give you 2 hours, and I basically had, by the time I went back through customs and back through security, I had 5 minutes at my gate before they called my number.
Yeah, that's honestly, just because it's a legal connection, and I think that's, we trust, we're like, well, it's a legal connection, so it must be possible. Okay, possible and probable are two very different things.
Yeah, that's saying there's no delay from the weather, you're planning to sit on the tarmac at all. Yeah, it's
and of course everybody's all Han Solo about it. It's not my fault. It's like, actually kind of is, because you really didn't anticipate normal airport behavior.
Yeah.
And
I just always assume that they're not going to be on time. I always assume that my flight is going to be delayed or that I'm going to miss. That is why I always go so early for things. Mm-hmm. I always end up getting somewhere a few days early so that I can, if my flight, something should go wrong. Because I've been at the airport when JetBlue canceled after they swore up and down, no, you'll still make your connection. And they canceled my flight and I missed my first 2 days in St. Lucia.
Ooh.
And boy, that happens once, it never happens again.
Wow. Make sure you buy your travel insurance, and that will help with all those things.
Yeah. Buy travel insurance. Mm-hmm. Another thing I'm guilty of, and I've gotten a lot better at this over the years, the more hassle I see, heartache I see it causes people, but in the past, I am one of those people that we always advise against sacrificing, you know, saving money at the expense of your time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So taking that cheaper flight that has...
With the 9-hour layover in Miami.
It was 6 hours. And it only turned into 9 because of thunderstorms. Yeah, that sucked.
I'll drink at the bar.
Yeah.
I should have totally bought the lounge pass. I didn't realize how awesome lounges were.
Yeah,
that was a mistake.
Yeah,
if I ever do anything like that again, I'll have a pass. But I've spent not 9 hours, but I've had to, just because of where we live on an island, and you know, if I take an early morning flight, I'm pretty much signing myself up to either leave on a bus at, you know, 10 o'clock at night the night before to get to the airport and then hang out at the airport, or spending a night in a hotel the night before in Seattle. And this is not the transportation options. And I will torture myself sometimes and end up at the airport from like 1 or 2 in the morning to 5 waiting for
No, I would much rather sit there at the airport. Much rather be there, you know?
Oh.
Actually, that just reminded me of another one that we haven't really talked about, which we sort of talked about forgetting things, but there's also forgetting things when you're actually going out for the day. So, you know, I have a couple of pretty famous Disney stories, where one was actually medical, where I didn't bring any sort of medications with me, including like over the counter stuff, and I started getting a migraine at Disneyland. And you know what ends up happening is you're like, it's not a migraine, it'll go away, I just need to drink some water. And by the time I got to the first aid center, because I just couldn't walk anymore, the nurse was like, oh my God, honey. I mean, she could tell it was really, really bad. And I don't get them very often, but you know, that pain is just like unbelievable. And if I had at least had some Advil, it might have actually cut it before it became a migraine. Because again, I'm not prone to them, but I think I just let it go for so long that, and then the other time was the famous diaper incident when I, you know, if you're traveling with a baby, not only do you need your diaper bag, but you need a change of clothes in it, because babies tend to explode. And if they explode in a theme park and you are a plus size woman, it's very possible you will not be able to find pants that you can change into.
Disney's better about that now. But, you know, I have a cousin We were doing a family reunion in Myrtle Beach, and their baby was like 9 months old. They came from California and decided they didn't want to buy another pack of diapers. So they held their last diaper in reserve for the flight home from Myrtle Beach to California and just let the kid wear swim diapers like the last few days. Which don't hold anything in. It was so awful. And I remember my other cousin, the aunt, was like, she was holding the baby. She's like, I think he needs to be changed. They're like, it's okay. We're just going to rinse out that swim diaper. I'm like, what? I'm like, you know, you could, you know, you buy a pack of diapers. What the heck? Yeah, that was crazy. And they were so proud that they made it back with that one diaper. I'm like, yeah, but did you? Yeah. It's like, I don't think your sister would say you did. Yeah.
Well, and one of the things, you know, yes, I wear my shoes, my most comfortable shoes, but you do a lot more walking when you're on vacation. Mm-hmm. And so I don't go anywhere without moleskin in my backpack.
Mm-hmm. That's a good idea. I
remember the blisters they had the first time they went to Disney.
Yeah. Well, and things like, I mean, new shoes, just don't do any of that. Don't.
I used to always think I needed new shoes for Disney back when I was in my 20s. Yeah.
Yeah, that's like the worst
thing. No, I'm wearing the shoes that I wear every day, and I wear my sneakers and everything, but they rub differently when you're wearing them for 9 hours.
Yeah.
So one mistake I used to make until I started doing the races was that I would only take one pair of shoes, or maybe a pair of shoes and a pair of sandals to Disney. But now, if I'm going, and it doesn't even matter, not even for Disney, I mean, just for a year when I went, I made sure I had shoes to rotate, because if you rotate a pair each day, it gives the other pair time to re-expand or...
I learned that trick in Europe.
Yeah.
Walking on all the marble and the travertine.
It's good for your feet, too. It changes, you know, they don't have the same surface to keep walking on.
It saves you so much pain so much, I don't want to move, my feet hurt. So who's ever overplanned themselves? Have you ever overscheduled yourself?
Sandy does that all the time.
I've gotten so much better. Now I plan down days, but yeah, I used to be so guilty of that. Like every second planning it.
The very first cruise I ever took, I planned a short excursion every day, and one day there were two of them in the same day.
So the first time I dragged my husband to Disney World, it was our very first trip together, and we went, it was 3 weeks we were down there. We did Disney, Universal, and Discovery Cove, and SeaWorld, and we did everything. We did all the VIP tour, we did all that. But I was like a drill sergeant. Every morning, we were up by like 5. We were in the, you know, and then we were there till close every single day. And so now I'm
waiting for you.
you know he loves me, the fact that he's still around, because
yeah, but now he just makes you go on your own.
I don't do that anymore though. I don't even plan for my own trips. I just kind of, you know, do whatever and let whoever I'm going with, like Sandy, just plan things.
But you say that, but that you do that for Disney trips because you've been a ton of times and it doesn't matter. You planned your Europe trip pretty much, down to the minute.
Yeah, I brought up the old suitcase full of OCD for that, for sure.
I'm actually...
I went a little crazy on that one.
But I'm an underplanner, I have to be careful with my clients, because I have to remember that they sometimes want things planned more than I do. Because it's kind of like, why would you want to have something every day? You know? So I have to really ask them what kind of people they are, because my tendency is to leave more time to just wander or relax. And not everybody likes that. Some people do want to have, you know, a pretty intense schedule. It sort of depends on you and how often you've been somewhere as well. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah.
And I'm always catching myself. Well, this itinerary is 28 pages. I better cut this back.
This might actually suck.
I can't send this to somebody. They don't need that many tips. I need to reel it in.
Yeah. But we just can't remember that much either. And that's the thing for me. As I'm planning a trip for myself, I will look at things and try and decide what I want to do, but I don't want to learn too much about them ahead of time because the whole point of going is to learn about them. So I won't study every little nuance of, you know, this cathedral that I'm going to see or whatever, because I want to experience it in the moment. So, and I'm also one of those weirdos that doesn't take pictures on vacation because I want to experience it. You know, it's not that I don't take pictures, but I don't take nearly as many as most people do.
So, have you ever gone anywhere with outdated information? I've spent hours looking for a restaurant that
didn't exist.
Like, wasn't there anymore?
I do that in my daily life. That's close.
That's happened to me before, but not so much in the internet age. It was more in the like guidebook age.
Yeah, that was back in the guidebook age where you get that guidebook. Now you got to be careful because I got this guidebook at the yard sale is from 1984. I'm sure this info is so good.
Yeah. That's guidebooks I'm very, very particular about because that can be very disappointing. We haven't had that balloon festival in 30 years. What do you mean you made a special trip for it?
Oh. Or like The Simpsons where they go to the World's Fair.
Well, everyone, that is our show for this week, and we welcome your comments and feedback on this episode, or any episode, really. So to leave comments, visit us at outlandertravel.com, and then click on podcast at the top of the page and find the episode you wish to comment on. Or you can like us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/outlanderpodcast. Or just search for Fly Away, and be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes. So on behalf of Lindsay, Laura, Sandy, and myself, thank you for joining us here at Outlander Travel, and we'll see you next week. Gotta fly.